Super Bowl Sunday! Woo! Woo! How many here are Patriot fans? Yeah! You may leave. No, I'm just kidding. How many here are LA fans? Yeah! Okay, let me see. Patriot fans? Yeah! LA fans? Yeah! You don't care who wins. Who are you? Yes, most of the United States does not care who wins in this game. Go Hawks! Yes, go Hawks! Go Cougs! Amen. Amen. You know, it was kind of a fun game, and I was shocked, center section. Usually the college kids win this game. But you, center folks, you came, you put your game face on this morning, and you guys came to play. Dan was over there doing the wave with his group, so I think that's what missed out a little bit over there. No. Dan was getting them going and energy and everything happening, and so you get a participant trophy. Yes, you get your kids at least get candy. That's for sure. I wanted to go through a couple of Super Bowl facts. This is Super Bowl 53, but we use Roman numerals LII. Why did we do that? Do you know why we do that? Because to confuse people. People go, I don't know what number it is. What's an L and minus? And no, because the Super Bowl season, you know, the 2018 season ends in 2019. They didn't know you're the 2018 champions or the 2019 champions. So instead of calling it a champion of what year, they decided to just give it a number for the Super Bowl. Now, they could have just given it a number, but for some odd reason, they thought they'd make it confusing and put X's and O's because football players understand that. The most watched Super Bowl game ever. Do you know what Super Bowl it was? Super Bowl 49, Seattle Seahawks against the New England Patriots. 114.4 million people. Number one watched show in America ever. A ticket to the first Super Bowl in 1967 between, who was it between?
Green Bay.
And, everybody knows Green Bay and? Kansas City, yes, you remember them? Yeah, yeah. Guess what you could have got in for? You could have got into the game for $6. $6 with a ticket to the Super Bowl. It wasn't even sold out, okay? If you went last year, because I don't know the cost this year, if you went last year, the cheapest seats you can get, the cheapest ticket you can get, $3,626. The average cost, $5,682. And the most expensive ticket was $175,000. I'm sure he must have been in a nice booth someplace. Can you imagine taking the family out for that? Super Bowl Sunday, the second largest food consumption we have in America behind Thanksgiving. There has only been one player named as a Super Bowl MVP who didn't win the game. Have you ever thought of that? That there was, we had an MVP in the Dallas game, in the Dallas Cowboys, in the Baltimore Colts. Dallas, his name was a linebacker, Chuck Howley, in Super Bowl V. He won the MVP and did not even win the game. That's the first time I'd ever even known of that. There has never been a shutout in a Super Bowl. The fewest points ever scored was 3 by the Miami Dolphins. Of course, remember, they also went, 16-0, whatever. They had the biggest run. They'd been the only undefeated team as well. Super Bowl 53 has the oldest and youngest coaches. Belichick at 66 and... what's this guy's name? I forgot his name. McVay, yeah, at 33. 33 years difference. Belichick is twice his age. Super Bowl 53 has the oldest and youngest quarterbacks. Brady at 41... Who was that? Come on up here. Real quick. Just run up here real quick. Come up real quick. Run up here. Run up here. You see, he's a Brady fan. You can tell he's just a... I told him when he was up here worshiping, I said, hey, we don't allow jerseys in church. Or at least that color jersey. No, I'm just kidding. No, anyway, good job. Give him a piece of candy. Give him a piece of candy. Do we have any candy for him? Give him a dum-dum. Uh, The average cost of a 30-second commercial during Super Bowl I was about $37,500 in Super Bowl I. Last year, it was $5.5 million for 30 seconds. And over, this is the last one, interesting thought, I did not know. Over 700,000 footballs are produced annually for official NFL games. 700,000. 72 of them will be used for the Super Bowl. 72 of them will be used. And by the way, half of them will be filled all the way. The other half will not be filled all the way. But I just saying, they were saying that the pressure might be different in each of those. Football takes teamwork, right? Teamwork. I've entitled it, Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. It takes teamwork to do it well. It also takes teamwork to live life well, or at least the life that Jesus intended for you to live. It takes teamwork. You are never meant to be a loner. You are never meant to do it on your own. You are never meant to figure it all out and all the things that happen in your life by yourself. God put us together. In Psalm 68:6, it says, God sets the solitary, that word solitary is one, into families. Families means many. One goes into many. God puts you on a team from the very start at birth. He's called it team family. You're on team family at day one when you start out. You're in a team. You don't just get born and go, there's nothing there. You're born into a family. We were created to be with others. And as we do and are with others, we thrive in this team atmosphere. We thrive when we're together. We get motivation together. Anybody try to do a workout, you know, you're trying to start stuff, and when you do it by yourself, it's a lot easier to fail. But when you're doing it with a bunch of other people, they're expecting you to be there. All of a sudden, your motivation changes. When we were at this last conference this last week, for some odd crazy reason, a couple of the guys there decided to play racquetball at 6 in the morning before everything else started. So we got up at 5-something to play racquetball at the thing. Now, I wasn't going to get up at that time to go down there and hit the thing by myself. But with everybody else, as a matter of fact, my alarm didn't go off and Tom had to call me and say, hey, are you coming? And I said, yeah. And I was down there literally in seconds. I was fast, wasn't I? Yes. I'm just saying that we can easily, it's not important. It's not a big deal. We easily can excuse ourselves when we're by ourselves. But in a team, we seem to rise up. We seem to perform at a higher level. Just see guys playing a game. You know, they're playing a game. Everything's great. Bring their girlfriends and let them sit there and watch them play the game. All of a sudden, they have superhuman strength and they do stuff they've never done before. They never show signs of weakness or that they're tired. It's crazy. We need each other. We need each other. I don't think Brady or Goff would think that they could be very good quarterbacks if they didn't have an offensive line, could they? Can you imagine, hike, boom, you're down, right, if you have no offensive line. Or if you have a bad offensive line. They need those people. In order to be great, they need other people who are also making them great. We need each other. We need the team. We need to be rubbing shoulders with one another. And as we do, our lives become great tour. I think of Todd Gurley, who's the running back for Los Angeles Rams. He ran for over 1,200 yards and 17 TDs. Third in overall yards and number one in TDs by a running back. He didn't do that by himself. He didn't do that by his girlish moves. Never mind. Teamwork makes the... God has a dream for your life. He wants you to take in that dream. He wants you to spend time with Him so He may impart the dream to you. But that dream and purpose that He has for your life is not meant to be accomplished by yourself. It's meant to be accomplished on a team. Because teamwork makes the dream work. And God has a dream for you. He has a dream for you. So let's please stand. We're going to go over our scripture this morning. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. He started with a but. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, thank you for your awesome word that changes us, that gives us truth. I love how it started here. This is just a side, but speaking the truth in love. I love that. That's what we're supposed to do as people. That's what we're supposed to do as a church. We speak the truth in love. You see, the truth is what we communicate. We have this. We're not communicating stuff that makes no difference. We're not communicating stuff that tickles your ear. We're not communicating stuff that you just, oh, I've always wanted it to be like that. We're trying to communicate to you truth. And sometimes the truth hurts, right? But the truth also sets you free. So we need the truth that hurts us maybe, that sets us free, so we might enjoy what we want to be. That's what a coach does. He makes you do what you don't want to do to achieve what you've always wanted to achieve. So we have this truth, the word, and we're to communicate it how? In love. Love is how we communicate it. The truth is what we communicate. Love is how we communicate it. And that's the model that Jesus used. He communicated hard stuff. He never sidestepped an issue. He didn't just sidestep something. Sometimes he bantered back with the Pharisees and made them answer another question back. But he hit them head on. He talked about them. He didn't candy coat them, but he communicated them with such a love. You guys can do this. It's going to happen. It's going to be okay. I'm trying to tell you truth. Maybe some hard things. They're hard because we have to let go of this world system that has us ingrained. And then we have to let go of that and grab onto something else. A new way of thinking. A new ideology. A new theology. A new philosophy. A new way of living that's centered in Christ from the Scriptures. But we have to let go of one and grab onto another. You know, and we let go of this. It's, you know, sometimes this world system is like a cancer. It's all over. It's and people who have had cancer surgery have to have it cut out of all the different areas that it might be invading. And you got to pull it all out, and it's kind of complicated to get it all out of there. And sometimes we don't understand how much of it's tangled up in the thinking and the thought processes that we have. And we need to allow this to do surgery on our heart, on our life, on our minds, so that we can get the cancerous things out, the toxic thinkings that are really wrong, so that we can embrace the things that bring life, eternal life, truth. But we have to let go of one, and that's the hard part. Stuff being cut out. But the great part is knowing that you're free. People who have had cancer and had it removed, and they say, hey, I've been cancer-free for 2 years. You don't think that that's an amazing statement for them? They're so excited about that. Excited to be cancer-free, not having this thing tangled around them and growing. That's what God's doing to us as He speaks the truth to us. He's cutting out the cancer out of there. But everybody said this is okay. Everybody. Hey, the whole world is. I know what they say, but it's a cancer. It's going to kill you. You need to get it out. It's not just what you say, but it's how you say it that makes the difference. You need both the truth and love. Truth without love, no one listens. Nobody wants to listen. Love without truth, you're going to lead people astray. Oh yeah, you'll get a following because you're so loving and caring, but you'll lead them down a pit to the abyss. But speaking the truth in love, may, say it with me, the first next word there, grow up. Everybody say, grow up. And then say, God's purpose for me is to grow up. He wants you to grow up in all things and grow up into Him, who is the head, Christ. Let me dissect this for just a little bit. Grow up. Don't we say that sometimes? Who do we say grow up to? Kids. Or adults who are acting like kids, right? We say grow up. What does that mean? Dude, grow up. Meaning that you're being immature. You're doing things you shouldn't be doing. It's not becoming of you. He says to grow up. The scripture here says, grow up. Grow up. He's giving you the truth and he's speaking to you in love that you may grow up. Grow up, embrace those things. Grow up in all things. We all start as baby Christians. Regardless of your chronological age, you can be 10 and receive Christ, you're a baby Christian. You can be 20 and receive Christ, you're a baby Christian. You can be 50 and receive Christ, you're a baby Christian. And baby Christians do baby things. They cry, they whine, they wet their pants. They do baby things. They do baby things. But the idea is that we not stay baby Christians, right? Is that we grow up. If you see a baby, or if you see a Christian who's supposed to be an adult whining and complaining, we need to say, hey, grow up. It's what babies do. They whine, they complain, they moan, they poop their pants. I don't want to be a baby. He wants us to grow up. Grow up. Mature. Act differently. Walk differently. We're to grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Mature. Where? In all things. In all areas of your life, God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to be more mature. He wants you to walk differently, both naturally and spiritually. In all things. In all things. In all things. If you've been walking with Christ for a few years and you're still acting like a baby, you got a problem. You got a problem. You see, babies consume, but adults contribute. God wants you to move from a consumer to a contributor. We're all called to grow. And how are we supposed to grow up? We're supposed to grow up in all things into Him. Grow up into Him. Who do you want to be when you grow up? When you grow up, who do you want to be? I want to be Christ in the earth today. That's what he's saying here. When you grow up, when you mature, when you become an adult, when you put aside and let the cancer be cut out of you with the truth, and all of a sudden you start walking differently, acting differently, the goal is that you might grow into Him. Christian, Christ-like. Christ-like. We're supposed to be like Him. Christians, we grow into Him. How would Christ do that? What would Jesus do? A long time ago we said that. What would He do? How would He would act? What would He would say? What would He do? We want to be more and more and look like Him more and more each and every day. So how do we grow up so that we might look like Him? It gives us the answer in verse 16. He's setting it down. Truth is going to cut it out of you. I'm going to do it in love, but I want you to grow up. I want you to be like me. How do we do that? We read on. From whom the whole body, you see, he likens people to a body. Each person's a different member of the body. One person's the eye. One person's the nose. One person's the knee. One person's the finger. One person is the mouth. He talks a lot. He likes to eat. It's a body. How do we do this? We've got to get on a team. The body is a team of people. If you want to grow up and mature, you've got to join a team. You've got to join a team. It takes a team to grow and mature in Christ. It takes a team to grow and mature in Christ. So you need to get on one. You need to get on a team, involved somewhere, involved in a church. Not just, I attend a church. That's like the spectators attend a game. Okay? The football players down there aren't attending, they're playing. The fans are attending. Hey, oh, it's great, awesome, I'm here in church. Oh, look at that, it's great, look at that. Oh, man, yay! That's not what God intended for you to do. He doesn't want you to be a fan, He wants you to be in the game. Get in the game! He wants you to be on a team. We need to be in. From whom the whole body, the team, need to be in one, joined. Joined. That word joined means to fit together. I always love it. Have you ever seen, you know, you're watching the game and then the quarterback does this, you know? This whole thing means, hey, we're going to huddle up. We're going to huddle up. You know, they might be doing one where they're just calling audibles at the line and keep going and keep going. Then the clock stops and you see the quarterback do this. They all look at him. Oh, he's wanting a hug.
He wants us to gather together because he has something he wants to say to us. Well, let's all go and talk with him. So they all gather together. They get in there and they all say, hey, Brady, you're playing really great, man. We just love you. You're awesome. Oh, thanks, guys. You guys are blocking really good. This is good. Hey, what do you want to do next? I don't know. We thought you knew. Oh, okay. Let me see. Oh, I got an idea. Hey, let's run a 48ZXR right out 3 on 4 on 7 hut hut 2. And so they all get up there and they all know what they're doing. I'm just saying that they gather together as a team. They chat together. You know that most offensive running backs regularly take their offensive line out for dinners. You know why? He wants them happy. All the offensive lineman has to do, if he doesn't like the running back, is go, and all of a sudden, he's for dinner, all right? So he'd rather feed them instead. Takes them out. They win a certain prize. They take out their offensive line. They take out the other people that were the contributors that made them what they are. We need a team. We need a team. We're joined together. We need a team. We need a place. We fit somewhere. It's interesting that God's designed us all to fit, kind of like a puzzle. We all have a spot where we fit. A few, gosh, how long has it been? It's been a year or so, or I don't know, number of months. Carrie was putting together a puzzle. She had some friends help her, and I don't know who all helped you. The number of people were helping her put all the puzzle together. And, you know, you do the board, and you got the picture, and you're putting it all together in there. I come in every once in a while and then leave. I go, that goes right there, and then jam it in there. It should fit there. Looks like it does. And then another fellow puzzle person who understands my dilemma. But all of a sudden, they get it all together. They spent a couple of times, different times doing it, not all one shot. It was a big puzzle. And got all done. And there's a piece missing. Do you know how that feels? Yes, you already did. Oh, all this work and one piece is missing. Do you know what that feels like? Horrible. Now, let me tell you, that puzzle is still sitting there with the piece missing. It's been there for how long? A couple of weeks, couple of months? Huh?
It was there for a while.
Oh, is it gone now? Oh, you finally gave up. Okay. It was there for months, okay? It was, because the hope was this. Somewhere we'd find it. Somewhere, just somewhere. We don't want to get rid. Somewhere, the hope was somewhere. Please! Somewhere in the house, give up! The peace you're holding hostage. We'll pay whatever you want. You just want the missing piece. Want the missing piece. You look at the puzzle, you go, oh, that's really nice. Hey, it's missing a piece. So, I mean, everybody doesn't go, oh, it's a nice, it's missing a piece. Everybody goes to the piece that's missing. It says, this would have been nice, but the piece is missing. And now it doesn't look good. The missing piece. Are you the missing piece? Are you the missing piece in the puzzle that people would pay a lot for if you would just come and fit in? We need you. We need you. God needs you on his team. Join the team. It's teamwork that makes the dream work. From whom the whole body joined and knit together means to bring together, to unite, by which every... That means like some, right? A few. By which, say with me, every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. That word supplies, you know what the word supplies means? To supply fully or to contribute. To supply fully or to contribute. Everybody on the team supplies, contributes. You see, growing people contribute. Babies don't. They're consuming. Growing people always contribute. The ones that are stunted don't. They consume. We think, well, I'm just on the sidelines. No, no. You need to be involved. Each person on the team, each and every one on the team performs the task that has been given them to do. Not every person is the QB. Nor should every person be the QB. If you're 345 pounds as a QB, probably not your gifting. If you're 185 pounds and you're playing defensive tackle, probably not your gifting. Different people play different positions. We need diversity to make a team. We need diversity to make a team. All nations, all races, all colors, all everything is what God's kingdom is made up of. We need everybody. QBs, running backs, offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties. We need those special folks too. Special teams, punting, kicking, field goal. We need trainers and doctors and the water boy because we need someone because we can't raise our hands to give our own water. I've always thought, you're like, dude, can't you go over there and get your own water? No. Ah, thanks, I'm done. The reason isn't because these guys are going, oh, you can't even get your own water? I mean, you want everybody to... No. The coach wants to make sure that they stay hydrated. You perform better when you're eating and drinking well. And so they, when they get off, they're going to make sure you take some water. I'm right here. Now you're going to have some. Open the mouth. No. All right, it's going in your face. Going in your face. You need water. Need water. So the water boy, he's important. So are the coaches. So is the owner, who's God, right? The fans. That's the world that we play in front of, right? If you're still a fan, then you're not on the team, then you got to understand, wait a second, I'm in the wrong seat. I'm in the wrong place. I should be down there on the bench, not up here in the stands. He didn't ask you to be a fan, he asked you to be a player. Get in the game. There's no small task. The kicker is just as important as the QB or the running back. The Seahawks found that out. Never mind, I'm not going to go there. Every joint supplies. My second part to how do you grow to be like him? Contribute something. Every joint supplies. Everybody is a contributor. Everyone contributes something. Let me say this. To contribute nothing is contrary to Scripture. To contribute nothing is contrary to Scripture. Well, just me and Jesus. I don't contribute nothing. It's just to me, myself, and I, and that's all I do. That's not Bible. You need to be a contributor. You need to be helping somebody. You need to be moving out of your shell. You need to be in the game, on the team. I don't like big crowds. That's fine. Get on a smaller team. Oh, I just don't like... There's a lot of things I don't like that the Bible tells me. And you know what? I had to say, I don't like that. And God goes, try it. You'll like it. And all of a sudden, he starts changing me to what I didn't like. There was a lot of sins that I really enjoyed, I really liked. And all of a sudden, God's going, no, I don't want you to do that. And he made me shift my thinking. And all of a sudden, I get over here and I go, I'm really glad I'm over here because I don't think I like that anymore. I don't like that anymore. And I like this, which I didn't like before. So all of a sudden, you're changing me. Every day, he's changing us. Will we let him change us so that we become like him, that we grow up. Eat your spinach. Eat your Brussels sprouts. I don't like them. If you had nothing to eat for 5 years, you'd probably like Brussels sprouts. Probably couldn't eat them, then you'd be dead. But it's not some joint supply. Everybody. Are we just all in this? We're all in this. We're together. And the greatest thing that I enjoy about life is knowing that I'm on a team. I'm with other people that I love very, very much. And that we're doing something. We're advancing the kingdom. We're getting people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and growing them. And we're growing them up. Grow up. And my promise I make to everybody who comes in a year, you give me 1 year, get involved in our programs, I'll guarantee you that you will grow up. You will grow up. You'll look back and go, wow, I can't believe how much I've changed. I didn't think I liked that. Now I like that. I do it. Everybody supplies. God has a dream on how to make the team work. Together we'll accomplish His will. Thirdly, I say, don't go solo. Don't go solo. Teamwork makes the dream work. It can't be done solo. So many people, just me and Jesus, all I want. Well, that's wonderful, but that's not how it works. And that solo time with the Lord, awesome. Have a great time. Get connected. Do all that. And then God's going to have you come out of your solo so you can do something. Be involved in the team. I thought it very interesting. How many of you like Michael Jordan? Some of you are going, Michael who? Let's show what's up there. It's Michael Jordan, what he does.
This one again. This deserves a second look. Michael taking off, the patented tongue comes out just in front of that line. Look at this, the double clutch, the reach out, and the stuff. He got 49. I don't believe it.
Unbelievable.
There we go. There's the slam camera, the slam jam camera.
49-inch vertical. I have a 3. Jeez, I'm going, wow. What a guy. Michael Jordan. When Michael Jordan began playing in the NBA, he epitomized excellence as an individual contributor. But his efforts in the first 5 years never earned him a championship title as an individual. It was not until Phil Jackson became the head coach and said to him, he said this, you need to go beyond being a star and become a player. You need to go beyond being a star and become a player who surrenders me for we. Who surrenders me for we. That meant playing as a team with a triangle offense that Jackson taught and not as an individual. He was playing and he was doing all the stuff and he was making all the points and he was doing all that. And it was all Michael. It was the Michael Jordan show. But the coach came and when he came on there, he said, hey, listen, we're going to do a play. Where everybody can score. Everybody can be involved in this. It's called the triangle. Everybody had an opportunity to score. Who was the open man? Who was going to be there? We'd move it around. We'd find out who was there. And then that person might be the person who scores. Jordan was great before Jackson came, but Jordan's self-reliance and social separation made his teammates feel like supporting actors on the Michael Jordan show. He wouldn't ever do anything with, he only did stuff with his own entourage. He never did anything with the team. He never played with the team. He outside of the game. He just did his own thing, his own way. Convinced that Jackson was right, Jordan transformed himself into a force for connection. He became a team player. He began spending more social time with the team off the court. He challenged them to step up their game. They worked hard together as a team and began pushing each other toward excellence. No longer did Michael have to make or take the last shot. It was always him in the last shot. Now, he made a lot of great last shots, but there were a lot of other great guys on that team who made some great last shots as well. And he trusted all of them because he believed in his team. He became a believer in his team. Now, Coach Phil Jackson became head coach in 1990. And 1 year later, he had them winning the championship title in 1991 and in 1992 and in 1993. And then another three-peat in 1996 and 1997 and 1998. Michael Jordan was a great basketball player, probably the greatest of all time. And I know that's a debate with LeBron. But you know what? What made him great was not just himself. What made him great was his trust in his other players. Phil Jackson said this, good teams become great ones when the members trust each other enough to surrender the me for the we. Have you surrendered your identity, the me for the we? Continuing on. He says, according to the effective working by which every part does its
Share. Number four is share the load. Share the load. A little help on a big project goes a long ways. You're carrying a 1,000-pound item. We get a whole bunch of people around there. It doesn't feel so bad. One person, bad. It's tough. But together, sharing the load, we must share the load. We must do our part. God can accomplish His dream through us if we share the load. Do your part as a team member. When the A's and B's are on family chores, or the C's and D's and E's are on family chores, hey, I'm there. Why? Because we're on. Because I'm a part of the team. And I'm off the bleachers, and I'm off the bench, and I'm in the game. It's my time to get into the game. But it's just cleaning stuff and doing. Do you understand that God's going to do something like this in that process? But it's just the fundamentals. It's just doing the basics. It's mundane. Yeah. You know, John Wooden won 10 basketball national championships in 12 years. 7 of them in a row. He always spent, with these star recruits that came in, he spent the first week teaching them just simple basics. You know what the number one thing that he taught every recruit when he came in? How to put on their socks. How to put on their socks. You need to put on your socks, and then you need to pull them up. Pull them up. Pull them up. Pull them up. Why? Because if they sag down in there and fold over and you play on that, you're going to get a... and you're not going to be in the next couple of games. Now, isn't that pretty fundamental? Isn't that pretty basic? And yet, he taught it every... and then, not only that, he said, after you get your socks all the way up, you need to put your shoe on and pull the laces tight. And he wanted them even too. Tight and even. And then tie it tight. Because I don't want you to sprain your ankle. Nowadays we do a lot of taping up and all of that. But do you understand? He cared about the basics. You know, basics. Doing mundane basic things also build us together as a team. Continuing on, according to the working by which every joint does its share, causes, what's the result here? What's the result of these four things? Causes growth. That's the same word, grow up. Causes growth. We grow up. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see, the results are we grow up and we grow out. That love aspect that comes out of us. We touch our team members and we touch the world with love. When we grow up, we also grow out. We edify one another, and we challenge a world that needs Jesus, and we love on them and bring them to a point where they will come to understand and love Christ as well. We need each other. God designed us to be connected together to accomplish His purposes. We're greater connected together. Interesting picture here of this bridge. Talk about being connected together. Look at that bridge. That bridge still stands. It's in Honduras. When Hurricane Mitch came in 1998, it caused the riverbed to move. It moved the whole riverbed. There's not even water there anymore. Blew away all the other stuff, but the riverbed used to go right under that bridge, but it moved it over to the right. And now it's the bridge, they say, to nowhere. Who wants to be known as, I was down there on the planet Earth and I was a bridge to nowhere? Well, goody for you. I want to be a bridge to somewhere. Nowhere. It looks funny. It's strange. It's out of place. We look funny. We're strange when we're out of place, when we're a bridge to nowhere, when we're just doing our own thing. And it wastes a lot of money. It's such a waste. The other thought I had about this too is, what happens when the river of God moves? Do you move with it? Or do you just stay right there and go, you know, this is the way we've always done it every year. This is how it's happened. And when I came to Christ, this is how it was. This is what it is. This is how I want it to be. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. That's it. But the river of God meanders and moves. Do we move with it?
Do we go, Lord, what are you doing today? Oh, I'm not doing it like that. Okay, hey, what are you doing today? I want to be a bridge somewhere, not nowhere. If you're irrelevant, if you lack relevance, you'll be like that bridge and nobody will want to use you. I want to make sure that we always stay in the midst of the river when it moves. There was another bridge that was, they proposed to build a bridge, $400 million in Ketchikan at this airport. This airport was on this island. They're building a road to it. Well, the bridge got canceled, but the road got built. There it is. I don't know how many millions of dollars to that road that goes to, and it's used by, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to live that kind of Christianity. I don't want to teach that kind of Christianity. I don't want you to be those types of Christians. Are you on God's team, the church? Are you going solo? Our life and fulfillment comes from being connected together and fulfilling the functions that God has created for us. Are you ready to go somewhere? Not nowhere? Let me bring it to a conclusion. In Proverbs 6:6-8, I love this little illustration, so bear with me. It says this, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." Another translation says, "Take a lesson from the ants. Consider her ways and be wise." I wonder why they didn't put their ways and just put her ways. But anyway. "Which have no captain, overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." Now, usually this scripture is used talking about being lazy, right? I think it has another lesson here. This idea, I think it is also a lesson of teamwork. Not just being lazy, but teamwork. How these ants work together. Look at this video. Do you have just a second before you start it? Where is Ellis? Okay, Ellis, you're good to go. Okay, he's going to read all of the notes so you don't have to look at them, okay? You can just watch the video. Okay, go ahead.
There are an estimated 10,000 trillion ants on our planet. They weigh very roughly the same as all of humanity. Army ants exhibit complex social behaviors that require group cooperation to achieve success.
Look at that bridge.
New footage shows how these ants build bridges with their bodies. The lead ant will slow down when it reaches a gap. The rest of the colony will continue to build the bridge with their bodies until the gap is closed. With brains that weigh less than 1/1,000,000th as much as a human brain, it is not surprising that these ants communicate using just 10 to 20 signals. Unlike human language, these messages are all instinctual. This example of cooperation goes to show why ants are such successful survivors.
I thought, if this isn't an aspect, I think, what the kingdom of God and teamwork was about. It doesn't matter who gets there first. That person stops, and the next person builds upon them. There's no respecter of persons. There's no, oh, you're that, you're I'm a that, I'm a that. No, it's just, we got a job to do. I'm on the team. Hey, no, walk on me. I teach in our leadership, we want to be that foundation. Our leaders don't want to be on the top walking over everybody else. We want to be on the ground floor. We want to stretch out one to another and have other people walk on us. It doesn't matter in the team. It's the goal, it's the purpose that we're after. To accomplish what God has called us to do. And we each do our part. And when we lay down our lives and to serve one another. And every once in a while someone's going to walk on you. Take it as a compliment that God used you to allow someone's foot to be planted right in the very small of your back. Because maybe, just maybe, you become more like Jesus when you serve like that. We need each other to bridge gaps to get to where God wants us to be. You see, teamwork is what makes the dream work. Father, we thank you that you're such an awesome God. You're so wonderful. We thank you that you set the example for us of what it meant to be a servant, to have people walk on your back, not just walk on it, but rip it open. Lord, help us to be and to follow in your footsteps, to be like you, a servant of all, on the team, involved, advancing your kingdom, not going solo, but on the team, understanding that it plays with my conveniences sometimes. I don't want to be in that crew at what time? 10 to win? Hey, but you're on the team. We need you. We need you. We need you to connect, to advance the vision, the direction, the life of what Christ has for us. Father, be with us. Change us, mold us, transform us into the people, the ants that you want us to be, Lord, because it's our privilege to serve you. In that wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. They're going to close here and they're going to give you some opportunities. We're going to talk about a number of teams here. They're going to talk about all the different teams. They got flags here. You can go around and look at them. I need you at the family chores team every week. And if you miss, could you pick another day then, before or after? It's okay if you miss. Just pick another time. We need you in that rotation. But also there's other teams like, and I just want to highlight one, and I don't usually do this, but Team Ushers with Jim Boyer. Great man of God. Great man of God. We need guys and girls who are willing to be ushers. That'll just help during the service, help out here and there, and help us with getting everything ready before and making sure everything's okay as we leave. And get on a team. There are a number of them they're going to talk about. And I just want to thank you for being Christians who are alive and walking in your faith, who allow a guy like me to be able to open this up and to speak to you and you not act like that, but that you're willing to receive the Word of God. And for that, I am so grateful to be on your team. God bless you guys.